Leading off with the big story of the day, here's The Drive with Zach Bye and Denver, Colorado's own Philip Lindsay.
Who win it now?
All right, hour number one in the books. Faster than a New York minute. We're hanging out at Stoney's downtown at 11th and Lincoln. Zach Bye, Philip Lindsay. You want to come say hello? Feel free to do that. As Phil has been signing jerseys and taking pictures in between breaks, we don't bite. You want to come? Come join us. Watch some basketball.
Well, I bite. You just bark.
It's okay. Oh my gosh, what am I gonna do with you? Earlier this week, Phil, we had a fun little exercise that put out on social media, threw it out to the text line, got a lot of response, and it was ranking the four pro coaches yeah. in Denver sports. Your list was Jared Bednar number one.
Yep, Jared Bednar, Malone.
And then
Sean Payton.
Sean Payton was number three. That's right.
And Buddy Black, man. Oh, Bud. He had to go number four. It's not on him.
It's not on
him. As a manager, it's not on him.
It's not his fault.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I just had to do it to him.
So we seriously disagreed because we had a different number one and number two. And there was really only two choices to make. Who did you have number one, Malone or Bednar?
Yeah.
And then who did you have three over the fourth, Sean Payton over Bud Black or Bud Black over Sean Payton? And our list was about as different as you could get because I went Malone number one, Jared Bednar number two, and then it was Buddy Black number three because he's made multiple playoffs and Sean Payton just hasn't been here long enough and finished below 500 and missed the playoffs. So, but reasonable minds could disagree on all that, but it got us thinking, if we are going to do the same exercise for college coaches.
Ah.
College coaches, and we're not going to open it up and expand it to all sports, so kept it to football and basketball.
Yep.
On the men's side, and again, no shade or in any way, shape, or form.
Because you would, if that was the case, you would have to put the DU coach in there because he did some good stuff this year, man.
Yeah,
and you've been talking a lot about him.
You want to know what? I think he belongs in this conversation.
I think so.
Jeff Wilburn, men's coach, Division I level yes. here in Denver, just played for the Summit League Championship, inherited like a 3-win team. I like that. You're holding me accountable here. I like that.
I just know you have a lot of respect for that man.
Yes.
You've been following that organization, that program.
Yep.
They're on the up. They're one game away. One game.
I know. From being an innocent and like from playing today.
Yes, and you almost at one point had to come into the office, had to come on air with your face painted.
Oh, that's right.
Because of that man.
Yes.
So you gotta give him a shout out.
Oh my God. and they had a decision to make. You know, it was Chauncey Brothers' younger brother, Rodney Billups,
yeah.
who was coaching the team, and things weren't just going well. I mean, they unfortunately eroded into arguably the worst Division I program in the entire country. They were 7-24 in 2019 and 20, and 2-19 in 2021. Just 1-13 in their conference, and then they hired the right coach, Jeff Wilburn. They went from 2 wins to 11 wins, 11-15, 15-17, and playing in their conference championship
every year.
You know, 40 minutes away from punching their ticket to the NCAA tournament. So, I like that. We'll include him in this conversation. So, here's who it's amongst, and I want to throw it out to the RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. Rank the college coaches currently among Tad Boyle, head men's basketball coach at Colorado, Nico Medved, head men's basketball coach at Colorado State, playing here in just a couple hours, Deion Sanders up in Boulder, Jay Norvell, head coach at Colorado State football, Troy Calhoun.
Oh, this is tough, man.
It is tough, and this is why it's going to be a fun exercise here. Troy Calhoun, head coach for the last 14, 16 years or so down there in Colorado Springs at Air Force.
Yes.
So between Jeff Wilburn, head coach at DU, Tad Boyle, Nico Medved, Deion Sanders, Jay Norvell, and Troy Calhoun, This is an inexact science. Yeah. It's an inexact exercise. We can disagree on which coach is where.
Yeah.
That's what makes this fun.
Oh, Zach, we should have done a bracket with this.
Yeah, it would have been good for a bracket. It would have been good
March
for a
Madness,
bracket.
A bracket. You know, have all the coaches go head-to-head with each other.
Yes.
See who comes out at the end.
Yeah, that would have been good. That would have played well on a day like today.
Oh, man. I'm going to let you go first.
Okay.
Because you always copy me.
Oh, is that right?
You're that kid that always looks on that paper for the test.
Yeah, that was me. But I knew I knew the scouting report, and I sure as hell wouldn't be looking at your answers to your test.
I love it. I knew the scouting report too.
Okay. Between Tad Boyle, Nico Medved, Deion Sanders, Jay Norvell, Troy Calhoun, and Jeff Wolbrin, we'll keep it to those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Number one, who would go number one? I think I'm going to go with my number one overall pick is going to be Troy Calhoun, head football coach for the Air Force Falcons, who inherited a 4-win program back in 2007. He flipped it from a 4-win team to a 9-win team in his first year. And when you win 9 games in college football, you go 9-4. That's really hard to do. He's been there for 16 years. He's gone 9-4 or better in 8 of the 16 years. He has punched a bowl game ticket in 13 of 17 years. And, I'm going with Troy Calhoun, number one overall, a current college coach in the state of Colorado.
I like it. Showing a little respect, Zach.
Is that fair for Troy Calhoun and what he's done there?
You know, it really is fair. That's not who my number one is.
Okay.
My number one pick is somebody else.
Okay.
You know, so you, like Sean Payton would say, you took the bait.
Oh.
You took
okay.
the bait.
Okay.
That's your quarterback. I got you.
Okay.
But that's not who I'm thinking of.
Who you got, Phil?
For me, it has to be hands down Tad Boyle.
Really?
Skull Buffs. I just think with Tad Boyle at this point, right, he's been around for a very long time. KJ, simmer down back there. He's been around for a very long time. He's been with the same team for a long time, right? Not only has that, you know, Tad has, you know, played at Kansas, won a championship. He's from Northern Colorado. Helped Northern Colorado, University of Northern Colorado out for a little while.
Yep, he was a coach there.
Got hired by Colorado, University of Colorado, that is, all right? And he's been there for 14 years, all-time, you know, wins leader.
That's true.
10 different 20-win seasons, okay? 6 NCAA tournaments and 2, is it 2 now?
Now it's 3.
It's 3.
After last night, it's 3.
And 3 tournament wins. He'll have another one coming up Friday.
Oh.
And Tad likes me a lot. Shout out Tad. So he's going to have to be my number one.
Well, you want to know what? I disagree.
Okay.
But when you're talking about being the all-time wins leader of a Power 5 football program, Troy Calhoun does not hold that a distinction.
Yeah.
He doesn't. That's, I believe, Fisher DeBerry, who was a coach there for forever. And I believe, you know, if Troy just hangs on a few more years, he's going to pass. Fisher DeBerry. But being the all-time wins leader of a Power 5 program, that's significant.
Yeah.
He's got more 20-win seasons than the entire previous history of that program. And now I believe he's got more tournament wins after last night than the all-time history of the program. So although I disagree with it, there's enough merit there where it's fair. It's fair. All right, with my second pick, after Troy Calhoun, as if you're just joining us, we're figuring out who the what are the current hierarchy of college coaches in the state of Colorado between Tad Boyle, Nico Medved, Coach Prime, Jay Norvell, Troy Calhoun, and DU's Jeff Wolbrin on the men's basketball side, who was just in their conference championship this past week. I am going to go with – I had Troy Calhoun number one.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with – Man, I can't believe it, but I'm actually going to go with Nico Medved.
I knew you were going to say that.
I'm going to go with Nico Medved. Now, he doesn't have some of the long-standing pelts on the wall that Tad Boyle does, but he's been at Colorado State for 6 years. He inherited a program that lost twice as many games as they won. They were 11-21 the year before he got there. And in his six seasons, speaking of 20-win seasons, we're talking about Tad Boyle and boosting him up, and he deserves credit for that. Four of the six seasons that Nico Medved has been at Colorado State, they've won 20 games or more. He's got two tournament appearances in the last 3 years with a tournament win. He's won 25 games. You know, Tad Boyle and his group just won their 25th game last night, which is now a school record. Nico Medved's done that twice in 6 years. And you can't even say, well, he coaches in the Mountain West and the other one's got a harder task in the Pac-12. That's not really the case in men's basketball.
It's not. Mountain West actually is dominant, especially this year.
The Mountain West is just such a good basketball conference. I mean, shoot, it was a year ago they had a team appear in the national championship in San Diego State. Yeah. So Nico Medved, I think, has done an incredible job in the 6 years that he's been at Colorado State. So much so that I told you yesterday, I think they're a win away from him coaching his last season at Colorado State. I think he's knocked it out of the park to that degree.
Yeah, don't think. Just know this is probably it. This is probably it. CSU Rams are going to be kind of sad when their boy is gone, but it's going to happen.
Yeah, and look, you know, we talked about this yesterday. When you made that hire, you hope you can forecast multiple tournaments and producing an NBA player and a guy like Isaiah Stevens and winning tournament games like they did two nights ago. And have him a part of that conversation. You hate to see him go if that's what ends up happening. And we don't know that, you know, for sure. Maybe Colorado State pays him more money. But it's like, man, that's the natural order of the college ecosystem. You kill it at a place like Colorado State, you get hired. You get hired elsewhere.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I feel you. See, my number two, it was between Nico and Troy. And for me, it's going to have to be Troy, right? Because, like you said before, Troy has been winning for a very long time. I'm a football guy. He deserves to be up there. He deserves to have his flowers. So, for me, Troy is number two.
Okay, you have Troy number two. I like that. So my number one is your number two. I think that's fair. Troy Calhoun has just killed it down there in Colorado Springs. So you have Tad Boyle number one, Troy Calhoun number two. I have Troy Calhoun number one, Nico Medved number two. And then we get to number three, and I can't get past three without showing love to Tad Boyle.
You better show love or you would really have some black eyes. Tad already gave you two.
Never come back on the program again after I opened the interview telling him I thought his team was dead in the water.
Yeah. He hung up on us right there.
That wouldn't be the first guy. He's hung up the phone on me. Tad, for all the reasons that you mentioned before, for him to be your number one pick, I mean, he's been at CU for 14 years. No one's won more games. No one's had more 20-win seasons. Six NCAA tournament appearances, three wins after last night. Tad Boyle has been really an awesome hire going back 14 years. Yeah. So that program was irrelevant, and he's made them relevant. Is there criticisms to be had of the shortcomings in, you know, once the tournament starts? Sure. But that's why I thought last night for him was so important for him and his group to beat Boise State, and at least put themselves in the big boy round of 64. So good for your Buffs last night, man.
Yeah, man. For my number three, it's going to be Nico.
Okay.
Nico Medved. I mean, he has done a tremendous job over there with the CSU Rams. Okay, I think that they're going to win again. I think they're going to beat Texas.
You do?
Oh, I do. I think he has his boys rolling, and I continue to bring it up. We act like CSU was not ranked high at the beginning of the year, right? Things didn't go the way that they were planned for the CSU Rams, on top of plays like last-minute throw-ups going in.
Right. You know, they got beat by the buzzer beaters, I think, two different times.
Yes, and Nico did the best thing you could do, go to kickball.
Yeah, that's right. They went and played kickball.
So Nico's my number three.
I like that. And just little stuff like that, pushing the right buttons with your crew.
Yes.
Because that was the game, and I think it was maybe against Wyoming, where they blew it was like a 12-point lead that they blew in like a minute and a half or whatever. And instead of grinding the guys out and watching the film, grading every possession, it's like, let's get out. Let's go play kickball.
Everybody probably looked at each other like,
yeah,
what's wrong with coach?
You can only do that once. You can't play kickball twice.
I asked. You. Are they going to kickball again?
Yes. And again, if you're just joining us, we're ranking the current college coaches in Colorado, but we're keeping it to men's basketball and football, because if you wanted to go down the hockey side, yeah. I mean, you look at DU, you can go to the lacrosse side. I mean, so we're just keeping it to men's basketball and football for this conversation, and we're ranking them. I'll pick my fourth. Number one, I had Troy Calhoun down at Air Force. Nico Medved, number two. Tad Boyle, number three. I'll go with my fourth overall pick being, man, I'm glad you reminded me about Jeff Wolbrin.
Oh, I should have never reminded you. I should have just brought it up on the spot.
Jeff Wolbrin, head coach for the Denver Pioneers,
yeah.
inherited a literal 2-win team.
Yeah.
You could have made the argument that they were the worst Division I basketball team in the entire country. I called a couple of those games, and I remember coming back saying, my frame of reference being in one of the top-rated Division II conferences in the country back in the Northeast, and saying, oh, my gosh, like, that team wouldn't finish in the top half of that conference, let alone, like, competing. They wouldn't have been in the top half. That's how bad of shape that they were in. And that dude, Jeff Wolbrin, who is the associate head coach at Stanford, brought them from 2 wins to 11 wins year over year, from 11 to 15 wins, from 15 to 17, and then playing in the championship of the Summit League with 40 minutes away from going to the NCAA tournament.
That's
hard to do. So I'll go Jeff Wolbrin, number four on my list of current coaches in Colorado between men's basketball and football.
See, this is when you start to copy me.
Okay.
This is when you start to look on my sheet of the paper.
Okay.
Because Jeff does deserve to be on the list. He is number four.
Okay.
He is number, and if Nico Medved was not doing the things he, has done, he would probably be number three.
Yeah.
But because of that, he has to go down to number four. Shout out to Jeff.
All right. The only coaches left in this exercise are Jay Norvell at Colorado State and Coach Prime.
Are you
up
surprised?
In Boulder.
Are you surprised?
Not terribly surprised. If you just thought it out and did a little research on the resumes, in addition to knowing what you already know about these guys and these programs. So now it's like, okay, who's going to be last?
who's fighting for last?
Who's going to be last? And I have to say, hold on.
All right, Zach, be careful with the words. You already got Tad on you.
All right. I am going to go with my fifth of the six selections of the current hierarchy of coaches in the state of Colorado. I am going to go with Deion Sanders. I'm going with Deion Sanders over Jay Norvell. And the reason why is that Jay Norvell inherited a 3-win team, and his first year after Steve Adazio, who turned out to be just, I don't want to get personal, but it turned into a joke over there.
Yeah.
And he inherited a 3-win team, Jay Norvell did, and his first year they won 3 games. So no difference year over year. And then his second year, he went from 3 wins to 5 wins, which is good, but Deion inherited a 1-win team and at least had a 3-game improvement in his first year. So for that simple reason, I'm going with Deion Sanders, that his 3-win improvement was more impressive than Jay Norvell's 2-game improvement over a 2-year period.
Zach.
And I like Jay Norvell. I do. I think that program's headed in the right direction, but
you know what?
I got to go Deion.
I agree with you on that. I like Jay Norvell as well. I think that he's a blue-collar coach.
Yes.
And if it wasn't with the NIL being so big, it'd be a little bit more closer with CSU and CU. But because of the NIL deals and who Coach Prime is, all right, it's going to be hard for someone like Jay Norvell to beat Coach Prime, because he's just getting the talent there that CSU will not be able to get.
Right.
With that being said, my number five would have to be Coach J.R. Payne.
Oh.
Women's basketball.
Oh, wait a second.
Women's basketball.
You just upset the entire process.
I had to. It's March Madness.
I mean,
there's
goodness.
That number 16 pick that decides to pick the number one team.
Oh, my gosh.
Look, we have to put her in there. I have to shout her out, because she has done some tremendous things over there with the basketball, right? With the basketball. Now, we could shout out for the CSU Rams coach as well, but They're not in the dance. Coach J.R. Payne has been in the dance twice, last year and this year.
Yeah.
Upset it. LSU, the beginning of the year, all right, has a possibility to have to play against Iowa. Caitlin Clark, yet again, they were upset it versus Caitlin Clark.
Yes.
1 year. Now they have a chance to do it again. They're going to have to win tomorrow.
Right.
Right? But she's right there with them. And I think that you have to give her her flowers and her respect. All right, now she has to go with number five. I'm gonna keep Norvell out of it. I'm keeping Norvell out of it.
Oh, wow. Boy, you just, hold on, this was supposed to be men's basketball and football,
and you
put J.R. Payne ahead of J. Norvell. You want to know what? I'm putting Bill Tierney number one now on my list. Legendary coach for DU lacrosse.
No.
What are we doing?
So for number, if we didn't do J.R. Payne, which, you know, it's a curveball.
You want to show her some love. I love that.
It is going to have to be Coach Deion Sanders because of what he has done for this program. And not just for football, because he's only won 4 games, right? But it's his first year.
Yeah.
Last year was his first year. Jed Norvell, now this is what going on year 4 for him?
This is going to be year 3 for him.
Year 3?
Yep. He had a first year, they were 3-9.
Okay.
Second year, they were 5-7.
Yeah, so year 3 for him. So this is honestly might be a tough year or a really good year for Jed Norvell because he has kind of built that foundation. But I don't see him beating Coach Deion Sanders because of what Coach Deion has over there.
Yeah.
Okay, the hype around him, the money that he's getting in with the NIL deals, things like that. So it's going to be Coach Deion because of what his upside is. And then Coach Norvell will be number, what is it, 7?
Six. Yeah, you know, it's hard to argue. I mean, honestly, when I first did the exercise, the thought that went through my head was, Is Deion going to be last? You know, is Deion going to be last? First in hype, in hype. Number one in book sales for sure.
But it comes down to that 1-11 before Coach Prime got here.
Exactly. Ooh-wee. They were so bad, Phil. They were so bad.
The one thing
hard for me to reconcile from this past year is that up 29-0 at halftime against Stanford.
Yeah.
Had they even just got to that fifth win, that would have been a big deal to me.
That was embarrassing.
It was, and it's the largest. It's the largest comeback against CU in the program's history.
Well, tell me this: if Coach Norvell would have beat Coach Prime, which he probably could have.
Man, I thought they outplayed him that night and still lost.
Would Deion be number 6?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Because
I can get with that.
Because Norvell would have been 6-6.
Yeah.
He would have been 6-6.
He would have went bowling.
And Deion would have been 3-9. So
hype would still be number 1.
Oh, hype would have been number 1. Elevate and dominate 21 ways to win on and off the field.
The book.
People are lined up outside Barnes & Noble for that one. But Deion does not deserve to be last. Unfortunately, it's Jay Norvell, a guy we both like, but it just kind of is what it is. He's got his work cut out for him there with CSU.
Yeah.
And you want to know what? This year should be even better than last year because the Pac-12 was so damn good on the football side, and you're going to the Big 12. Your roster should be getting better. You have a first-round quarterback who's touching the ball on every play. So we'll see what it looks like. I will tell you that he did a press conference yesterday. There was one thing I really didn't like. I want to talk about it at 3:45, but in the meantime, we're here at Stoney's Bar and Grill on Lincoln. You can catch all the NCAA tournament action at Stoney's every game, every day. Do not miss one game down here on any of their incredible TVs. This is the place to be all tournament long. They have a big projector set up for, I think it's right now, it's the North Carolina game, but they'll change that throughout the afternoon. And it's just a great place. It's kind of inside-outside hybrid, where you have a nice breeze blowing in on a beautiful day like today. So come by, say hello. We are going to be here until about 2 o'clock. All right, Phil, there's an awesome Colorado sports story that will get a big national spotlight shined on it later tonight. And we'll tell you what it is coming up next.
Up the top rope with it.
All right, Mr. Philip Lindsay. Got a fun Colorado story for you. All right. And I know this may be on a lot of people's radar. A lot of other people, it may not be. I'm going to tell you about the story of a young man named Dalton Connect. who went to Prairie View High School in Henderson, Colorado. He's from Thornton. He was 5'8" as a sophomore. All right. By his junior year, he's 6'1".
Sprouted.
In high school. He sprouted up. All right. And then he goes to junior college after Prairie View High School. He goes to Northeastern Junior College in Sterling, Colorado. But what happened when he was in JUCO? He grew another 2 inches. And that was between his senior year and his freshman year at JUCO. Then when he was at JUCO, he grew another 3 inches. During his time, he's a growing boy. When he was at Northeastern Junior College, to bring his height to 6'6". So from 5'8" in high school to 6'6" in junior college. And then from there, he transferred to Northern Colorado to continue his career. He averaged 9 points a game in his first season at Northern Colorado for the Bears. But by the time he was a senior, he led the Big Sky Conference 20 points a game and 7 rebounds.
I love it.
He had 1 year left because of the COVID year. He decides to transfer. He commits to Tennessee. And that young man, Dalton Knecht, is the SEC Player of the Year. Scored 20 points a game. What a story. We'll see him later tonight in the NCAA tournament.
You can't make this up. You can't make this up. Man, that's a young man that decided he wanted something done. Mindset was there. You know, got lucky when he was able to continue to grow inches. Yep. I wonder how tall his parents are.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know? And now look at him. In the tournament, probably going to do some great things. That's a great story, man.
To 21 points a game in the SEC. Phil, there was a game earlier this year. I watched him score 40 against Kentucky. 40 against Kentucky. So from playing for the Northern Colorado Bears and playing at JUCO in Sterling, Colorado for Northeastern JUCO to then score 40 against Kentucky. It's just a remarkable story. Yeah, just never quitting. Just, you know who it reminds me of is Derek White.
Yeah. You know, he's not the biggest, you know, and not the strongest. But every time you look out there, Derek White's doing some really great things. And, I mean, man, he times up blocks well.
He really does, man. I think he had his first triple-double this week, Derek White, if I'm not mistaken. But a guy who goes from lower level of college, just keeps on working his way up, grows a little bit, keeps on getting better and better.
Trust the process. That's what it looks like. It's like trusting the process, believing in yourself. And it just goes to tell you, everybody has a story. Everybody finds a way, right? There's not just one way to get to the top.
Right.
Right? There's so many ways to get to where you want to go, but you got to believe in it and you got to continue to trust the process of what you're doing.
Yeah. And honestly, I think of you. I just think who saw that story coming? Someone that every single team passed on at least 7 times.
Yeah.
And you go on to be a 1,000-yard rusher.
Yeah.
Not once, but twice. Pro Bowl. It's like you just relentless, head down, keep on working. It's just
you got that and have to have a little luck.
Sure.
You know that.
Yep.
You got to have a little luck on your side at the time.
There's no doubt. So watch this kid later today, Dalton Knecht. The last name is spelled K-N-E-C-H-T, Knecht. And if you haven't seen this kid, go to YouTube and type in Dalton Knecht dunk and watch his dunk versus Michigan State. It was the number one play on SportsCenter a couple months ago. The kid, he flies. His arms hang down near his knees. He's got a stop and pop jumper. Look for him later today.
1, 2.
All right. How about this story, man? This is weird. This is wild. And my antennas are up. I know you guys have already heard about this, but Dodgers interpreter for Shohei Ohtani was fired yesterday afternoon after questions surrounding at least $4.5 million in wire transfers sent from Ohtani's bank account to a bookmaking operation, setting off a series of events. And, man, I read this story from start to finish this morning on ESPN.com. Phil, it stinks. There's something here that stinks majorly.
It's very, very messy, man. Very, very messy. And it can get to the point where this can really affect Ohtani. You know, and that sucks because aren't people saying he's going to be one of the greatest players playing baseball?
No, he's arguably the face of the sport.
But with this situation going on, things can take a wrong turn.
Totally. And baseball has a checkered history with people gambling with Pete Rose, you know, Hall of Famer. He was the hit king.
Yeah.
And he was betting on baseball, and they banned him for life and still have not let him back. Look, you read the entire story. I'm going to be honest, man. I got to tie half my brain behind my back to think that Shohei Ohtani was not placing bets.
But why? Why? You have all the money in the world. Why are you placing bets?
Phil?
See, that's the only thing that for me, it's like, why would you do that? Why would you put yourself that? You're making so much money. You're making more than anybody has ever made, right, playing the sport.
It's all relative. Why would Michael Jordan have gambling debt? Why would Phil Mickelson, who made $100 million on golf tour, be in debt? Because sometimes it's not enough. If you like to gamble, you like to gamble. And, you know, and I'll say this too, it's all relative. You know, it's all relative. And he's got a ton of money. It probably is like just a little fun money, you know, 4 or 5 million bucks. Because, you know, what they said was, well, the interpreter initially said just a few days ago, I got myself in trouble. I had this gambling debt. Ohtani bailed me out.
For sure. I seen that.
And I said, I'll never do it again. Then 48 hours later, Ohtani's side is going, no, we never knew anything about this. We have no idea. Now, this is Ohtani's, like, best friend.
Yeah.
They've been together for more than 10 years. And now it's like, wait a second. He was just saying he was on the same page with Ohtani.
What would be better, though, if Ohtani was, like, helping his boy out? Because then would he get in trouble for doing that?
Maybe a slap on the wrist or something?
Okay. But because he's saying, you know what? I don't know him at all. Now it opens up another door.
It does, because your story changed.
Yes.
And here's the other thing that's hard for me to reconcile. Is that you said you accrued, this is the interpreter, accrued this gambling debt for $4.5 million and Ohtani bailed you out. Okay, if that's the story, why is there multiple wire transfers? There's like a wire transfer for $400,000. Then there's like a separate one for $500,000. It's like, wait, was he like paying a bookie in installments? Or was he just like losing money and sending his losses?
For sure.
Because this was not a legal, this is not like FanDuel or DraftKings or Superbook. This is an offshore...
With a bookie.
Yeah, with a bookie. And that's run out of the West Coast. And look, we still have, even though gambling is illegal, we still have, you know, the mob and, you know, bookies and underneath the underbelly of that society. I don't know, man. You just read through it, and there's too much stuff for me to be like, yeah, Ohtani didn't know that any of this was going on. If people dig deep enough, I think they're going to find something that's a little bit rotten.
Man, that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate.
All right, we'll keep it pushing.
One, two, three.
Man, a huge shout out to your Buffs men's basketball team and Tad Boyle, who joined us on the show a little bit earlier this week. What a game. Maybe not the most aesthetically pleasing. There's some struggles offensively.
Yeah.
But the Buffs pull it out. What was the takeaway you had from last night?
Yeah, I like the grit. I like that, you know, DeSilva decided to come along. And you said it yesterday, Zach. You said it yesterday. That's who you were, you know, watching for.
Yes.
KJ did a pretty good job. Cody Williams to me, man. I get mad watching that because it's like, you want to talk about an MPJ kind of thing right now? Like, he's inconsistent and he's coming off the bench.
Yeah.
You know, but they got the win. They got the win. Let's see what they can do against Florida. Florida's missing their big man. I like our chances.
Well, I like it. KJ Simpson, 10 of those points in the second half. He finishes with 19 points, 11 rebounds. DeSilva was big. Just across the board, the grit, timely timeouts from Tad Boyle. And just like that, they win a tournament game. And we will see them tomorrow against the number 7 Florida Gators. All right, as we shift gears here, Deion Sanders hosted a press conference yesterday. And I will tell you, he rubbed me the wrong way with one of his answers. And it's got nothing to do with in-home recruiting visits. I'll tell you what it is coming up next. All right, yesterday, Deion Sanders stepped up to the microphone in the first press conference style that we have heard from Deion. He's done a lot of media, but more of the kind of, they call it the car wash. Is you go do late night TV, do national radio during the day, just kind of just hit all, you know, your spots of publicizing because he's selling a book, and good for him. But this was like the first setting of like fielding questions type of deal in a more traditional sports media environment. And I'll tell you, man, you know. Talk about Coach Prime. I love the Coach Prime story. I want him to win in Boulder. I want to make that unequivocal. I want him to win in Boulder.
We need him to win. We need him to win.
Selfishly, this job will get way more fun if CU football is winning, because then you get the substance to back up the hype. And I just think it would be fantastic for that university, for the alumni like yourself, for this state. It would just be awesome. But I say that to say it doesn't mean I have to love everything that you say, right? Or love everything that you do. I love my wife. She does stuff I don't like. Hair.
Watch it now.
Hair, bathroom floor. It's like, you know.
Yeah.
It's
I like to agree with you on that.
It's like someone shaved a lion's mane in there every time she used the blow dryer. And I love her. I love her. But it doesn't mean I have to love everything that
you do. I get mad. I get upset about that, too. I'm over here digging stuff out the drain like, yo.
Yes.
And is this a dust bunny?
And then they'll take it, and then, like, put it on the wall. And like, no, that's not where that goes. You don't transition it from the floor to the bathroom wall.
Or just put it on the floor. They just keep it on the floor.
Anyway, anyway, with Dion, he said something yesterday that I just didn't like, and this is a part of it.
Good. He's awesome. He really is. He's recovered immensely. I think he's 7 times better than back is. That's how many lavender we got, right? No lavender. Was it 7 or 8? He's 8 times better. I'm serious. His back is than he was last year. I mean, the way he's feeling, he really is. So we're good.
Okay. So that's Dion answering a question about, hey, is Shador, you know, is he feeling better?
Yeah.
He said, yeah, he's feeling 7. He's feeling 7 times better. That's how many new offensive linemen we got, right? Oh, it's 8? Oh, he's doing 8 times better. Phil, maybe I'm old. And maybe I'm just, and maybe my mindset is older than my actual age of 37.
you check your hairs? Your hairs on top of your head?
I got gray hair. I got it. Maybe that's a part of this. But I just don't like it. Because here's my thing. At what point in time do your players become your guys?
Yeah.
When are they your guys? When do you take ownership and not separate yourself from them when it has to do with something involving your son?
Yeah.
Well, you came in here and you purged the program like to a degree we've never seen. Good. The Buffs were really bad and they were embarrassing the program. You want to purge it. But you brought in your Louie and you did flip the offensive line. And those boys came to Colorado to play with you, and then year over year, you're asked how your son's back is doing,
yeah,
and you're 7-8 times better because that's how many new offensive linemen we have. What about the guys that were there? When they're hearing that, and they're going to hear it, like wherever they are now,
yeah.
It's like, I just thought it was an unnecessary stepping on someone's head to make someone else look better, and the guy he's making look better is Shador, his son, and it just rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah, see, Zach, you know what? You said it best. I don't know what else I can say about it. Like, you truly did say that the best way you probably could. I don't like that you put people under the bus. You put other kids that you brought in. Like you said, the Louie, talk them up. They didn't work out well. And now you're talking about them because they didn't work out well for your son.
Right.
Because would you have said that if that was your son? Would you have said everything that you just said if that was your son? Because your son could have done a lot of things different as well. Got rid of the ball, throw the ball out of bounds, right? Run at times, run so that you don't get hit. Slide. Do things the right way that you're supposed to do when you're a number one, number two quarterback for the next year's draft. But it can't all be on just the offensive line. Yeah, the offensive line was horrible. Okay, but your son's not perfect either.
Right.
You as a coach, you're not perfect either.
Right.
And the fact is, we still don't know what these young men are going to do this year on the offensive line.
Nope.
The offensive line is a hard position because, one, you need time to grow, all right? You've already got rid of a crew of offensive linemen. Now you have to get another crew in here to gel together.
This is the third one because he got rid of the original group,
yep,
that was part of the old guard, brought in the new group. They've all been ran through, and now this is a new set. This is your second set.
For sure. For me, it's like, coach, all you have to say is Shador was hurt. Okay, he's doing a lot better. All right, and we brought in other offensive linemen to help that out that I feel like it could help us and keep him a little bit more healthier,
yeah,
than he was last year. That's all he had to say.
I know.
Kind of being slick about it, trying to, like, put people under the bus, but then elevate his kid.
Right.
From his book, probably.
Hey, maybe.
You know, I feel you. It rubs me the wrong way as well.
I just don't like it, and it's not necessary. It's just not necessary. And because you were taking aim at that group last year during the season.
Yeah.
Where he said, you know, they can't block. We'll go get some guys who can block. And it's like, okay, you've taken aim at the same positional group multiple times, and now they're gone, and you're still retroactively backing the bus up on them. But it's like, that's the one group that directly protects your son. And I just don't like the feeling it gives me.
I want to see this year. I think Shador is a great quarterback.
Yeah, I agree.
But also, take blame for some of the things that your son's not doing right, just like you as a coach.
Right.
Because there's a lot of stuff you didn't do right last year.
Right.
And you took a little bit of blame, you know, by saying he could have been better or he needs to work on it. But that's something that when we're watching these games, right, if you want to put a target on somebody's back, now it's like you better go out there and showcase all this that you're talking.
Because
if that offensive line doesn't work out, then what?
Right, right.
If Shador doesn't get rid of the ball like he's supposed to,
right,
then what?
Right. And it's one of these things where who has caught the most ire from Coach Prime? Sean Lewis, the offensive line. And those two parties directly impact Shador the most.
And they're not there, so and they can't blame them.
Yeah, I could have gone without that. It's just not necessary. Just not necessary. Okay, which team, CU or CSU, has the better chance to make more noise over the next 24 hours? We'll take a dive into that coming up next.